listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Hello, and welcome to Why We Cook on the Heritage Radio Network. We're broadcasting live tonight from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on a warm August night. And you can listen to any shows on Heritage Radio anytime online at heritageradionetwork.com. They're all archived for eternity. You can listen to them whenever you want. So, this past weekend, I had a disaster in my life. My three beautiful heirloom tomato plants, my green zebra, my black Russian plum, and my sugar lumps were all destroyed. Completely dead. I've been nurturing and heaping love upon these plants all summer. I bought them from the Union Square Farmers Market in early May. I gave them organic potting soil. I staked them and tied them up with strips of recycled t-shirt cotton. I wrapped them in animal-proof plastic mesh. I thought I had done everything right. I was like a parent who plans for all of life's disasters, insulating their child from whatever doom may befall them. I read up on the blight. I held my breath every Friday night as I drove up to my house. So this past Friday night, I got to my little bungalow about 9 o'clock, and I went out into the garden, because that's what I do. As soon as I get there, I run out to the garden to make sure everything's okay. I checked out my tomatoes, because I'm terrified of the blight, and I thought, oh, what a relief. No sign of the blight. I felt this wave of smug relief that I had dodged that blight bullet. I felt like I was home free for the summer. If I hadn't gotten it by now, I was going to be okay. And I counted up my tomatoes that were due to ripen within the week. This summer hasn't really been hot enough for tomatoes to ripen, and now we're getting this really hot blast of summer in the Northeast, so I thought, this is it. We're finally getting the hot weather. I'm ready to go. The next morning I went outside. I retied up a few sagging branches. I trimmed off a few of the sucker branches. I gave the plants a thorough grooming. I really got them in shape. I got them ready. I recounted the unripe tomatoes once more in anticipation. I thought, I'm going to have a whole big crop in a week, a bumper crop of all my heirlooms. We went off to take a swim Sunday afternoon, and I left the plastic mesh off the tomatoes. Well, those deer in the woods must have been watching me and laughing their antlers off, because 3 hours later, I came back from swimming and there was not a single tomato left. Even some of the branches had been eaten. They didn't even wait for darkness like they normally do. They just brazenly strolled out onto the patio, noticed that I was gone, and had themselves an heirloom feast that would make any locavore drool. So tragedy has befallen my tomatoes, and I just stood there, stunned, with tears welling up in my eyes. I couldn't believe that I had beaten the blight, but lost the war. And of course, it's completely my own fault. I was lazy, and I didn't put the plastic mesh back around the tomatoes when I went off to take a swim. But the deer don't normally eat the green ones. They wait for them to ripen, and then they graze. So next year, I'm getting a rifle, and I'm eating venison with my tomatoes. Consider that a warning, dear. Okay, anyway, so much for my tragedy, and so much for tomatoes. We've all dealt with it. We're moving on between the blight and the deer. Let's just cross them off the list this summer. I can't even talk about them anymore. So let's talk instead about some of our other summer stars while it's still summer. You've noticed the past few weeks, if you've been listening to the show, it's all about vegetables this month. I want to get in as much talk about vegetables as we can. So let's talk this week about zooks, cukes, and melons. There'll be plenty of time later on in the winter to talk about pumpkins and the winter squashes, and we won't be seeing them around for at least another 4 or 5 weeks. So let's wallow in the squash patch while we can for the rest of this month. So cucumbers, zucchini, summer squash, melons, they're all in the same family. They're all gourds, just like pumpkins. They're all gourds. But summer squash are much softer, and they have a lot more water in them, and they don't need much cooking. They're much more delicate. The winter squash, like pumpkins, are harder and have a lot more sugar, of course, except for the melons, and need a lot longer cooking. So summer squash are perfect for summer because you don't really want to cook in the summer. And most of us think of cucumbers, we'll start with the cuke, as something that we generally eat raw. In a salad, we shred them up. But have you ever had them cooked? They're actually really good cooked. Even though I just said we don't want to cook in the summer, cooking cucumbers is pretty quick and pretty easy. You don't heat your kitchen up that much. So let's talk about cucumbers, about cooking them, about eating them, raw. A little mythology here. Have you ever eaten a kapamaki at a Japanese restaurant, a cucumber roll? Well, in Japanese mythology, there's a little water sprite who lives under the bridge, and he's called the kappa. And the kappa can be cruel, or he can be kind, depending on the circumstances and how you treat him. But the great thing about the kappa is he has a bowl built into the top of his head. He has a bowl-shaped indent on the top of his head. And in it, he carries water, but not just any water. It's like a strength-giving water. And it sloshes around in that bowl on the top of his head. And if you come upon a kappa, if you're trying to cross a river or cross a stream or get across a bridge, the kappa will confront you. And you have to bow to the kappa and show respect. If he bows back, the liquid falls out of his bowl and he'll be kind to you. If he doesn't bow back, he can drag you into the river and drown you. And apparently, kappas love cucumbers because they're so juicy. And that's a weakness that can be used to human advantage. According to one tale, an offering of cucumbers on which you etch the name and age of your family members is enough to appease the kappa, who will therefore refrain from harming you and your family. So it gives even more importance to the humble cucumber, not just as a food source, but as a weapon of self-defense. If you come upon a kappa, slip him a cucumber. He'll protect you from dragging you down into the river. So that's why cucumber sushi in Japan and here is called kappa maki, because it's got the cucumbers rolled up inside it. And I have a friend who lives in Tokyo who also told me once that kappa is the word that the Japanese use when they're talking about Jews, because they think that yarmulkes look like kappas. And I said, well, that's really funny because the Hebrew word for yarmulke is kippah. And so the kappas look like they're wearing a kippah. She thought that was pretty funny too. So anyway, back to the cucumber. The cucumbers are these great little packages of crunchy wetness and cooling green flavor. And there are sort of three standard supermarket varieties that you can find. There's your basic waxed supermarket cucumber, which has been waxed or oiled and has to be peeled and has a lot of seeds. And they're okay. They're kind of industrial. They're not too bad. There are the Kirby's, which are a much smaller version of those. And they can be eaten skin on. They're not waxed. And they're what's usually used for pickles. And then there's something called the Eurocuke or the Hothouse Cuke. Those are those long, skinny ones wrapped in plastic. And they're virtually seedless. They have kind of vestigial seed pockets, but no seeds in them. And they're not waxed. So they're really the best ones because you can eat the skin. They usually cost a little bit more. But if you think about all the loss from all those seeds, they're actually a better value. You get more cuke for your money. Of course, if you go to a farmer's market or you belong to a CSA or you shop a little more locally, you'll find all sorts of other varieties like lemon cukes, which are small and round and yellow and look like lemons, or the little Persian cucumbers, which are nice. And they're all great, and they all have different attributes too. And there are really hundreds of varieties. Just like everything, we've industrialized our agriculture down to a couple of reliable species, but there's hundreds of varieties of cucumbers out there. Some are sweeter, some are more bitter, some are juicier, some are crunchier. So we're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, let's talk about actually what to do with all those cucumbers this time of year. We'll be right back.
Freeze, freeze.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. We're broadcasting live tonight from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And if you like what you hear on Why We Cook, you can find me on Facebook. Just look for Why We Cook on Facebook and you can become a fan. I would love to have you as a fan. If you have any questions, comments, want some recipes, just find me on Facebook. And actually coming up very soon will be whywecook.com. But don't go there yet. It's not ready, but it's coming. Okay, so in the first segment we were talking a little bit about cucumbers. The show tonight is about zucchini, cucumbers, and melons, which are all in the gourd family, and they're all relatives. But we started out with the cucumber, the juicy, crunchy one. And we all know how to make cucumbers into things like salads. You just slice them up, toss them with some vinegar, oil, a little sugar and salt, maybe some dill. Or maybe you go the creamy route, some sour cream or yogurt, buttermilk. And those are great. But there's a good trick that you want to know before you do those sorts of salads, and that's to salt your cucumbers first. If you put a little bit of salt on them and let them drain for a while, then squeeze the water out of them, you get a denser, crispier cucumber. The salt draws moisture out and firms the cuke flesh up a little bit, and they'll be crispier, and they won't dilute the dressing with all the water in them because the water won't leach out into your dressing. So if you like to eat things like raita or tzatziki, which are basically the same thing, but one's Indian, one's Greek, you'll want to shred up your cucumbers and then squeeze out as much juice as possible from those before you toss the shredded cucumbers with yogurt and garlic and herbs if you're making tzatziki, or ground cumin and ginger and garlic if you're making raita. Now, all that juice that you squeezed out, don't throw that away. You can make yourself a nice little cocktail from that, a little cucumber cooler. Mix that with some gin and maybe a little squeeze of lime, and invite me over and we'll watch the deer eat the tomatoes. Okay, but have you ever cooked cucumbers? We don't really think of cucumbers as something we cook. We like to eat them raw, but they're really great if you just slice them up and really quickly saute them with something to complement their sweetness, like radicchio, which is kind of bitter, and some basil. You just shred up some radicchio, slice up your cukes, slice up a little bit of basil, and do a really quick saute in some olive oil. All you want to do is warm them up, soften them up a little bit, and wilt the radicchio. And that's a great complement to grilled food. It's a really nice side dish. As you know, if you listen to the show, I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan, and I've been there a very long time. And back when I started teaching there, back when it was called Peter Kump's, our curriculum was very different than it is now. It was really straight up old school French, like if you've seen the movie Julie Julia, that kind of food. And actually, the curriculum was pulled right out of Mastering the Art of French Cooking, which was Julia Child's first book. And so I thought, since we're all riding this wave right now of Julia Child nostalgia, why not look up a few of her cooked cucumber recipes? Because that's where I had actually first encountered this, was way back when, in the old days of the curriculum. So I pulled out my copy of the book, which is actually my mom's old copy, which is signed by Julia herself, by the way. And I looked through the cucumber recipes, and she, of course, recommends salting also to drain out excess water. And then she suggests cucumbers cooked as an excellent companion to things like brains or sweetbreads or roast chicken. So the next time you feel like making brains for dinner, you might want to consider doing some cooked cucumbers with them. Next week on Why We Cook, the brain show. We're going to do an all brain episode. Okay, back to the cucumbers. So Julia has recipes like baked cucumbers in cream and baked cucumbers in Mornay sauce. Mornay is a Gruyere cheese white sauce. And honestly, these don't sound that good to me. I think it's a little overkill. It's kind of old school French, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. But I think these also come from an era when vegetables were pretty dull in their flavor. It was sort of the heyday of monoculture. They may not have tasted that good. I think you should stick with a quick sauté. But if you want to try some of Julia's old recipes, be my guest. And then let me know how it goes. Because I've had them and they're good. But I'm going to stick with a quick sauté. You can also make a really great quick refrigerator pickle with your cucumbers. You don't have to do any kind of fancy pickling and heat sealing and all that. You just make quick pickles that you leave in your fridge and you eat them fresh. Don't try to seal them, put them up without following directions for pickling. This is just a quick pickle. But basically, you just make a brine, a basic brine of some white wine vinegar or some cider vinegar with salt and sugar and garlic and some pickling spice. And you boil that up until everything dissolves, cool it down, and pour it over some sliced Kirby's and put them in a container and put something on top of them to keep them submerged because they like to float. And chill that. And you'll get quick refrigerator pickles in a couple days, and they get better as they age. And then you can throw other stuff in the brine too, like pieces of celery or carrots that you've blanched, which means cook them briefly, or some green tomatoes if you have any, or maybe some firm peaches. If you have some underripe peaches, you can chop those up, green beans, you name it. I like to go mushrooming on the weekend, and there's a little mushroom that we like to find called the Hygrophoroides mushroom, and it's excellent pickled. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't try them. You have to know what you're doing with mushrooms. And I was also thinking that this summer I want to maybe play around with making some kind of cucumber jello, like a savory cucumber juice gelatin, and then maybe make a tomato gelatin and do some kind of layered gazpacho tureen. I think that sounds pretty good. I'm going to play around with that. So that's a lot of time spent on cukes. We still have to get to melons and zucchini. We just did cucumbers. So we're going to take a brief break here. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about zucchini and melons. We'll be right back on Why We Cook.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides. I think I forgot to introduce myself actually this week in the beginning. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Erica Wides. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan. And you can listen to any show on heritageradionetwork.com at any time. They're all archived, and very soon podcasts are coming, so you can listen to those. And if you're a fan of Why We Cook, you can find us on Facebook and become a fan, become a friend. Let me know what you think of the show. Any questions, comments, I would love to hear from you. Okay, so now in our last segment, let's talk about zucchini and melons. And first, a poem. This is a poem that I read many years ago, and it's stuck with me. This is for all you gardeners out there. If you're a gardener and you're growing zucchini this summer, this one's for you. This is by Marge Piercy, who's a novelist. You may know her as a novelist, but she's also a poet. It's called Attack of the Squash People. And thus the people every year in the valley of humid July did sacrifice themselves to the long green phallic god and eat and eat and eat. They're coming. They're on us. The long striped gourds, the silky babies, the hairy adolescents, the lumpy vast adults like the trunks of green elephants. Recite 50 zucchini recipes. Zucchini tempura, creamed soup, saute with olive oil and cumin, tomatoes, onion, frittata, casserole of lamb, baked topped with cheese, marinated, stuffed, stewed, driven through the heart like a steak. Get rid of old friends. They too have gardens and full trunks. Look for newcomers. Befriend them in the post office. Unload on them and run. Stop tourists in the street. Take truckloads to Boston. Give to your Red Cross. Beg on the highway. Please take my zucchini. I have a crippled mother at home with heartburn. Sneak out before dawn to drop them in other people's gardens, in baby buggies at church doors. Shot, smuggling zucchini into mailboxes, a federal offense. With a suave reptilian glitter, you bask among your raspy fronds, sudden and huge as alligators. You give and give too much, like summer days limp with heat, thunderstorms bursting their bags on our heads as we salt and freeze and pickle for the too little to come. If you're a gardener who grows zucchini, you know what I'm talking about. When I was a little kid, we had a garden and we grew zucchini, and they were the size of a short man's leg, and we couldn't get rid of them, and nobody would eat them. So you know what I'm talking about. And that poem pretty much sums it up when it comes to zucchini in the summer. So here's my advice. Contrary to what I have said, much of what I've said in previous shows, if you're a listener, in which I generally advocate cooking most things. I like some raw food, but I have a little bias against the raw food people. I'm going to say leave the zucchini raw. If they're really nice and young and fresh, don't cook them. But no, don't eat them raw in some hacked up, thrown in a salad in 1982 health food restaurant way. Take out a mandolin, if you have one. Set it to a very thin slicer setting and shave the zucchini lengthwise as thin as possible so you have ribbons, almost translucent ribbons. Then make a dressing out of miso, white miso, a little rice vinegar, a little honey, some lemon juice, and drizzle it over the zucchini ribbons. Toss it well and garnish it with shredded nori, sushi seaweed, and eat the zucchini before it wilts. That's the way to do it when they're young and tender, is leave them raw, slice them thin, dress them, and eat them just like that. If you want to cook it, I think the only other option is to cook until they caramelize. I can't stand stewy, steamy, wet zucchini. Maybe other people like it. I can't stand it. If you're going to cook it, you have to caramelize. And that means roasting or grilling and giving it enough time to really let go of all of its water and let the sugars really caramelize, because that's what it's all about when you cook a vegetable. It's cooking out the water. Let the sugars caramelize. If you listen to the show, you know that's what I say all the time. Or if you really feel like cooking, cut those zucchini down into about 3-inch long little stumps, like little tree stumps. Take a spoon or a melon balling tool and hollow out the top of one end about halfway down, and stuff them with a little bit of minced up shallots, garlic, basil, some breadcrumbs, some olive oil, mixed up with the stuff that you just scooped out. So chop up that stuff you scooped out, mix it with all that, stuff it back in the zucchini stump, put it in a gratin dish, a little white wine in there, a little olive oil, and then bake them. Bake them until the crumbs brown and the zucchini get really tender, and then you can pretend that you're in Provence in 1962 with Julia and Paul Child yucking it up with their buddy Simca while they plan the book. You can have a Julia nostalgia trip and eat your zucchini that way. And if you don't have a garden and you don't have people anonymously leaving zucchini at your door and you want to eat them, you're going to have to buy them. So when you go to the store or to the farmer's market, remember with zucchini that smaller is actually better. Don't be seduced by size. The bigger they are, the woodier and blander they're going to be. You want to go for small to medium, kind of firm textured, nothing more than about 8 inches. It's enough squash for anyone to handle 8 inches. Okay, get your mind out of the gutter. Stop at 8 inches with squash. So we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, and I haven't even talked about melons yet. So let's get in a few notes about melons here. When we talk about melons, obviously you think, well, I'm eating it raw. And yes, of course, they're best raw. They're sweet, they're juicy, they're crunchy raw. But let's talk about combining things with melons and using melons as an element in menus and in dishes. And so what I'm talking about here is salt, combining your melon with salt. If you grew up in the South, or in Southeast Asia, or in Italy, or the Middle East, you've probably eaten melons with something salty, whether it's with prosciutto, or with some kind of salty cheese like feta, or just with salt on them. Salt brings out the complexity and the sweetness of melon in a way that nothing else can compare to. And all of these are great ways to do it, and all of them turn melon into something other than a dessert. You can think of melon as a vegetable, as a component in a meal. So, of course, one of the world's great food combinations is melon with prosciutto. It doesn't get better than that. Cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon, anything sweet, juicy, wrapped in a little prosciutto. Really anything wrapped in prosciutto. You could wrap a shoe in prosciutto and it would be good, but melon's better. But not to be outdone is this combination that I am obsessed with, which is watermelon with feta, a little bit of olive oil, and some mint. Those four things together create culinary alchemy. It's an amazing combination. And it's the taste of summer. You add a little bit of cracked black pepper on top and you have a unbelievably great summer meal. Or keep that mandolin out that you use for your zucchini and shave the melon really thinly into ribbons. Toss it with some thin red onions, a little very thinly sliced cucumber, and add a little rice vinegar and lime juice. Maybe throw in a minced up hot chili in there, and you are ready for summer. Serve that with maybe some leftover grilled chicken or some grilled fish, and call me up when it's ready. I'll be there with a nice cold bottle of vino verde and a very sad story about tomatoes and deer. Let me know how it goes. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, Why We Cook on Facebook. This has been Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Remember, we are sponsored by TechServe, who we love, all the Mac users out there. And you can listen to any show anytime online at HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Until next week, I'll see you then. This is Erica Wides. Good night.